One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people. The Savior's message is clear. His true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire. No matter how difficult the situation, true disciples of Jesus Christ are peacemakers.
Hello, this is John Austin from the University of Utah Institute of Religion. This is the podcast series entitled Peacemakers Needed. During this episode, we will be talking about the importance of being a peacemaker in our family relationships. And I'm joined today by Brother Ben Hemming. He's new here at the Institute as an Institute teacher. And he graduated from the University of Utah with a master's in social work. And he met his wife here at this institute. He has 6 kids. His oldest is on a mission. He enjoys rock climbing. He just moved here from Moscow, Idaho as well. And he served his mission in Tijuana, Mexico. And he loves Mexican food. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. It's exciting to be here. And super excited to be back at the University of Utah, back at my alma mater, and it is in our blood. We love the University of Utah, and I'm very excited about this topic, Peacemakers Needed. I think it's a very timely topic, and I can say when this talk was given by President Nelson, it was a very easy talk to sustain wholeheartedly, and I'm very passionate about the topic of peace, so I'm grateful to be here.
Yeah, it's just a perfect way for him to introduce, you know, being a peacemaker, because it really is needed right now, especially. And that is the Savior's message, is peace. And you seem extremely qualified to talk about this topic as well as a social worker, because you deal with, you know, family relationships and some mental illness and things that some contention, and there's obviously an importance and a need for being a peacemaker. And I'd just like to know, how is it hard to forgive a family member, and why is it important?
Well, that's a great question. And when President Nelson gives his talk on Peacemakers Needed, that is the first place that my mind goes, is to the home. And we think about peace on a broad scale, in the community, in the world, on our social media platforms, in our university classes. But it is in our home that we act our truest selves, right? We can put on a smile in the civic and public dialogue, but boy, when somebody takes the large brownie and leaves the little one for me, right, all of a sudden, I'm not quite the peacemaker that I was before. And so I think that's an important principle, that it is in our home that we act our truest self. And President Nelson talks a lot about that in his talk. He says, true disciples build, lift, encourage, persuade, and inspire no matter how difficult the situation. And our most difficult situations, I believe, tend to be in the home, in our interactions with each other.
I wholeheartedly agree, because you live with each other and you take for granted that relationship as well. And sometimes we forget that we do need to be, you know, like the Savior in obviously that situation. I think it's even more important with our family than with other people, because you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the greatest blessing of family, and it's also the most difficult thing about family. President Nelson also mentions how differences of opinion are part of life. And in speaking about him and the other members of the First Presidency, he speaks about wanting to know their ideas and honest feelings about everything we discuss, especially sensitive issues. And President Nelson and the apostles provide such a great example of how we might conduct our families in strong opinions, hearing those opinions, especially sensitive issues, but recognizing that charity is always the answer. So.
Yeah, I love at the very end when you said charity is always the answer, because that is what the Savior did. Well, Brother Hemming, you have this amazing article that you wrote a while back in March of 2022. I'd like to go over a little bit. I'd like you to explain some of the reasons why it's important to you, why it matters to the students here, why we should discuss it and talk about it. And it's titled, Four Ways to Heal Fractured Family Relationships Through the Savior.
Yeah, thank you. This was an article that was very enjoyable to write. I believe it's because I'm so passionate about it. I have these two different worlds, right? I teach institute with young single adults, and I work as a licensed clinical social worker. And one of the biggest causes of distress that I see in those with whom I interact is fractured family relationships, right? In the church, it's wonderful. We preach the ideal. We sing Love at Home, right? Our family nights, we start with singing Love at Home and we end singing Master, the Tempest is Raging. And I don't want to make light of that. And we search and we seek for the ideal, but challenge and struggle are real. And we see divorced families, and in some cases, things as serious as physical abuse and verbal abuse, and even in some extreme cases, sexual abuse. And these are sensitive topics, but this is the reality of so many of the people in our world today. And so how do we heal those fractured relationships? I do want to make known that this article is Ways to Heal Fractured Family Relationships Through the Savior, because I believe that the Savior, Jesus Christ, is the healer, and he can heal our fractured relationships. Being at peace with our family sometimes requires a little bit more, and I've learned that we often get stuck, and we're told, well, you should pray about it, or you should study your scriptures about it, or maybe you ought to fast a little bit more, which I believe all are inspired solutions. But what about when there's serious trauma in your family, and how do you get through that? And those are some of the things that I've seen in a clinical setting. And so some of the solutions that I provide here are ways to work even through some of the most difficult trauma, and not to mention that the Savior understands something of that, being betrayed and ridiculed and spit upon by those that should have loved him and accepted him. The Savior is the answer in all situations. But having said all that, it can be helpful at times to even seek out professional help when we're striving to be at peace both within ourselves and others.
It's amazing. It really is so true. You have listed these steps in this article, and as you've mentioned, it is important sometimes to reach out to professionals because they are trained for this. Just like you as a social worker, you deal with it on like a daily basis. And of course the answer is the Savior. When you mentioned forgiveness and how he understands that, it reminded me of times in my life where I've needed to forgive someone else, and realizing that the burdens that you place upon yourself when you don't forgive another person, they stop you from being who the Savior desires and wants and needs you to be. So when you forgive someone, it really does lift that burden. It makes life easier.
Yeah. Forgiveness is a gift from Jesus Christ. And favorite scriptures, Doctrine and Covenants 64:9-11, but of you it is required to forgive all men. And then there's that phrase, he that forgiveth not his brother his trespasses standeth condemned before the Lord. And I've always thought of that as halting progression. And where peacemakers are needed in the world today, we often read into that as the world needs peacemakers, and they do. President Nelson talks about being a light on the hill, and we are needed as peacemakers. But we need the peace within ourselves that we offer the world, right? And in order to progress and grow and feel that peace that we need within us, it means letting go of some very difficult things. And so go forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trust the Lord and get the help that's needed. One of the things that I talk about is learning to develop Christ-like empathy. And empathy is a bit of a hot topic word. I mentioned in the article that empathy is taking another's perspective without passing judgment, validating emotion, and helping others know that they are not alone. Jesus Christ is the perfect expert on empathy. We see that so clearly in John 11 when he weeps with Mary, Martha, and others after Lazarus' death. trying to have empathy and putting yourself in others' perspectives is key in being at peace, both within ourselves and with others. And it requires a level of maturity because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something inside of myself that would identify with what you're feeling. It really is a Christ-like perspective. It's a peaceful perspective. And when there's so many differing opinions and things in the world today, especially within our home, it requires that I step in your shoes, that I try to see things through, that I walk the path that you walk a little bit. And that can be difficult because we don't all experience the same things. That's why Jesus Christ is the perfect example of empathy, because he has been through all things. He has descended below all things, in that he ascended above all things and can be in all things and through all things and of all things. I haven't done that. You haven't done that. But nevertheless, I can try and find something within me that identifies with what you're experiencing. And that can be helpful even as we work through relationships in our home where there's real differences and real rupture. I know from my own experience that as I have come to learn more about my father and things that he has experienced in his life that were difficult for him, it has given me the ability to love him more and to understand and look past some of his shortcomings. Seeing the context of others' life situations, hardship, challenges, helps us to be able to place ourselves in their shoes. And so that was one point that I made. Another point was our ability to have self-compassion. And this is a big one. Treating ourselves the way Christ treats us, the way the Father treats us, and the way that we would hope others would treat us. It's so interesting in fractured relationships that often what we do to others in hurtful ways is more of a reflection of how we feel for ourselves and less of a reflection of how we feel for others. Christ says, you know, that we must love others as and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Well, what if we are not kind to ourselves? What if we are not compassionate with ourselves? So much of the work I do in the counseling office is helping others write a compassionate narrative so that they can believe that they are worthy of that compassion, of their own self-compassion. And so sometimes moving through challenging situations in our home has more to do with loving ourselves than it even has to do with loving others. I'm going to hurt my family members because of how I feel about myself, not necessarily how I feel about others. And so in this article, I give some thoughts about ways to develop some self-compassion.
That is the beginning, is how we feel about us and the Savior and the Lord. That is the building block, because it is the first great commandment is to love the Lord thy God. Mm-hmm. And then if you love him, you love yourself, and then you love others.
Yep. Yeah, that second great commandment, you know, to love others as you love yourself requires that you love yourself. So that's where the Savior is pivotal, right? That we recognize how much he loves us. And if he loves me that much, I can love myself and I can look past my weaknesses, and that changes how I see others and how I love others, even those that have vastly different opinions than I do.
Yeah. When you realize and have that empathy, like you mentioned, that Christ-like perspective, realizing that when you get on another person's level, it is way more effective, and it is obviously better than sympathy, because sympathy is just like, oh, it's okay, there's like a workaround, something, it's like a silver lining around it. Mm-hmm. But when you realize and you really get down to, just like you're saying, as members of the church, sometimes we profess everything's great, everything's okay, it's going to be fine, but sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to realize, hey, there's something that I can do to be a peacemaker.
Yeah.
And there's obviously that, there is occasional contention in the home, and I just love this article, how you mentioned the specific ways, but you always tie in the Savior.
Yeah.
Because he is the solution. He is the answer. Any issue or problem on this earth, if you do it through him, it is possible. When you mentioned just self-compassion, it reminded me of some situations in my life. It helped me realize, you know what? There's some things that I can obviously work through right now. Just about loving myself in terms of being able to love other people.
Yeah.
something that really struck me when I was going through and listening to President Nelson's talk. There's this one little phrase in quote. He says, "One of the easiest ways to identify a true follower of Jesus Christ is how compassionately that person treats other people." Brother Hamming, I would like to ask you, based off of your professional expertise, this question. This is actually something related to me in my life currently at this time. I have a family member, and she's upset because of my grandpa, but he's gone. So she's like blaming him for things, and that relationship, it seems severed because he's not there. So I'd just like to hear, have you had any situations or experiences related to that?
Yeah. And surprisingly, even in the counseling office over these last 15 years, it's like an onion, right? You dig a layer, you take off a layer, you take off a layer, and you get down to that core center. And the core center almost always comes back to family relationships, right? Mom, dad, sometimes even grandparents. And that's what I mean about the war within ourselves. We hold resentment, and so much of it comes from a lack of empathy and understanding. One of the things that I mention in here is writing a letter to a family member from a compassionate, Christ-like tone, striving to see members of our family like Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ see them, right? How does Heavenly Father view your grandpa or your grandma? And that's what I mean about loving ourselves, right? If we see ourselves as worthy of the compassion of Christ, why would we not see our family members worthy of that same compassion that we ourselves are in desperate need of? And so that can help. My narrative has changed over time, and I believe we are all rewriting our narrative every day. We hold that pen, and Jesus Christ holds the ability to edit our narratives where we can rewrite things in a way that make room for compassion, not just for ourselves, but for our family members, and create a context that allows us to experience greater peace.
Thank you. When you tied that into the Savior and realizing that it's up to you to forgive.
Well, and real quick, I hope my children will do the same for me, right? Because I am not the perfect father. And I remember once I was doing a fifth Sunday lesson in a ward, and this farmer gentleman raised his hand, and he says, "I can't help but think during your presentation that I've messed up my kids." And I remember I said, "Well, that's true." And I said, "But part of me wants to mention, I'm sorry that you feel like you haven't messed up your kids, because that's kind of the purpose of mortality. Every family's a little bit messed up, right? And yeah. And so we're all having to learn how to write a narrative for our lives that makes place for peace. So,
yeah, thank you. Now, at the very end of this time that we have together, Brother Hamming, we ask this question to every individual. And the question is, what's an example of a time when you have been a peacemaker? And then the second is, how has the Savior helped you to be a peacemaker?
Yeah, there's actually one other experience I've been thinking of, but it coincides with a scripture example that I've been thinking of this week. In addition to what we learned from President Nelson's address, it comes from 1 Samuel 25. And this is one of my favorite Old Testament stories about peace. And a great read, if you're looking for a good book, is The Peace Giver. Much of that book comes from the story of three individuals, Nabal, Abigail, and David. And King David, who is soon to take the throne, is running for his life from Saul. He's in the wilderness, and he and his men are in need, and there is a man who the scriptures say, whose possessions were great, and he was from a place called Carmel. And he's got thousands of goats and sheep. And so David thinks, we can ask this man for some of his supplies, and he will care for us. But the scriptures mention that this man is churlish, which means rude, rough, and hard, and he's married to a wonderful woman named Abigail. So David's servants go to Nabal, and they say, "Listen, we need some of your supplies." And they're coming with a feeling of peace. Well, Nabal does not receive him peacefully, and literally this is going to be war. And Abigail, she catches wind of this. I've often thought about Abigail. Here's this woman that's married to a man who is rough, rude, difficult. Here is David, who catches wind of Nabal, who is rough, rude, and he's going to war. We call this being on the road to Carmel. And how often do we do this in our own lives? We are on the road to Carmel. We are going to put Nabal in his place. You're going to treat us that way. We will show you how we are going to treat you. Abigail, who catches wind of this, she takes 200 loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep, 5 measures of parched corn. This is a peace offering. And she says, I will meet David before he meets my husband. Verse 24 of 1 Samuel 25, she sees David, falls at his feet and says, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. And she goes on and says, forgive his trespasses and lay his trespasses on me. Right? Abigail comes as the symbol of peace. She is a type of Christ. She says, take everything, like it mentions, churlish about my husband and lay it on me. And this softens David so that he doesn't go to war. We have opportunities every day where there is someone on the road to Carmel. And we meet them just like the Savior meets us on our roads to Carmel, and he softens us. And what could turn out to be all-out war turns out to be a peaceful solution and a peaceful situation. And so this closing story, in our old, where we used to live, there was a primary program. And we had a very rambunctious oldest son. And I believe that this son had caused that the youngest kids would not participate in the program. And so this was hard for us to hear. Anyways, I had very hard feelings in my heart. I was going to teach seminary the next day, and I couldn't teach because my heart was so hardened. And so I got down on my knees and prayed, and it was, Heavenly Father, help me to not have these feelings anymore. And in a sense, I was on the road to Carmel, right? I felt like I was at war. And I got up off my knees and looked at the side of my filing cabinet and found these large posters, Book of Mormon posters. And I got in my car, I grabbed the posters, and I drove to the house of this member of the primary presidency and walked to the door not knowing what I was going to say. The door was opened, and what was going to be a road to Carmel, I felt the Savior intercede on my behalf in that moment. And I handed her the posters, and I thanked her for all that she did in behalf of the primary. And I apologized that our son was making it difficult for her. And I immediately felt myself going to war change. It was a peace offering of 100 loaves and she-goats and all the things that the Savior offers in our behalf. And I felt that peace. I'm grateful that that's what the Savior can do for us. We go to our knees and we shift our focus from traveling the road to Carmel with anger to a peace offering made on our behalf by Jesus Christ. And that's what he does for me.
Thank you so much, Brother Hemming, for joining us today.
Thank you.
My dear brothers and sisters, how we treat each other really matters. How we speak to and about others at home, at church, at work, and online really matters. Today I'm asking us to interact with others in a higher, holier way.
This podcast series has been produced by students at the Institute at the University of Utah.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend.
To direct others to this podcast, to listen to other episodes in this series, or to enroll in the Institute class associated with these podcasts, see our website at overcometheworld.podbeam.com.
This recording is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed are those of the participants and are neither the official doctrine nor the official teachings of the church.